microwaved coffee.
We're ready.
Or do a quick one like those people in Scott Pilgrim.
Like, oh, yeah.
So sad.
And that's it.
Yeah,
it ends.
It's not a race. This one goes out to you. The guy who keeps yelling in the audience.
Speaking of Scott Pilgrim, Edgar Wright liked my post.
Oh, yes.
And I lost my goddamn mind. And I was like, that's about the best thing that's ever going to happen in my life. Like, I don't think it'll get better than that. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I went to go watch the Sparks documentary, which please go watch it. It's fantastic. I knew nothing about this band. I had never even heard of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think maybe 2 years ago or last year, because I remember, I think I was in Atlanta when Edgar Wright announced that he was making this movie. And I was like, oh, let me listen to this band. And so I started listening to them. And I was like, how have I not
heard about
these people before? And they're like, they have like over 25 albums.
Wow.
And they're super influential. Nuts. And then in the documentary, Paul McCartney did an impression of them in one of his videos. And I was like, really? How do the fucking Beatles, how are they like imitating them? And I've never heard of this group. So,
interesting.
So if you guys want to go watch a really interesting documentary, I highly recommend it. A lot of musicians are in it. They did a whole, I told Justin, they did a whole collaboration with Franz Ferdinand, like a whole album. And I was like, I never heard of this album.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Sparks.
Franz Ferdinand.
But that's it. That's all I did this week.
Yeah.
Most exciting thing
I didn't happened. Do anything. What did I do?
Oh, we went to go see Monica's art show too. That was fun.
Oh, yeah.
That was in North Park?
In Barrio Logan.
Barrio Logan.
Yeah, we got to see lots of, like, and I had, like, the best horchata of my life.
Horchata.
Puerto Vida Cafe.
Sí, oh, sí, sí, sí.
So good.
Puerto Vida.
It was really good.
Sí, sí, sí.
They have horchata coffee. It's really good.
Yep.
I don't know if they still have it, but when I went, like, horchata a few latte. Years ago, it was so good.
They do still have it. I didn't get it because I was like, oh, I want to try a plain one, but I should have.
Yeah, it was delicious. I mean, it tastes like literally like their horchata with coffee. It's so good.
So good.
But yeah.
So yeah, shout out.
Yeah, nothing else. I just watched, what is it, Fleabag?
Oh, Fleabag!
Yeah. Ivan probably, Fleabag.
Yeah, best show on TV. I watched
so
the
funny.
First
so funny.
Episode of Devs, which is...
How did you like Devs?
I liked it a lot, actually.
It's really great.
It's a lot to take in.
Definitely. It's a heavy show.
So I need to, keep watching it. But yeah, it was... The first episode was just like... Yeah, it's pretty heavy. So then I was like, I need to watch something lighthearted.
You want something like funny right after that because it's
and
heavy.
And what else? I think that's it. We hung out with family and stuff, but...
Yeah.
Other than that, I forgot it was Father's Day because I never celebrated. So.
Yeah.
Then everyone was like, "Happy Father's Day!" Like celebrating, like, and I was like, "Oh yeah." I never saw.
My parents came down the weekend.
I finally got to meet them.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and Scout.
Scout came over.
Scout's so cool.
And Ringo like flipped the fuck out. Yeah.
Ringo like wanted to play, and then Scout was just like,
Scout was like, "No, thank you. I'm interested."
I'm an only child.
Yeah.
I'm an only child. Okay.
I don't need another dog.
Yeah.
We went to get sushi, and my dad was trying to give Scout wasabi. My mom was like, "No, you can't do it." And my dad's like, "I want Scout to experience things." And my mom's like, "I'm going to go to the bathroom." And then my dad's like, "Yeah, go to the bathroom."
That's awesome.
He almost gave Scout wasabi.
It was so funny.
Yeah.
But he tried a little bit of salmon and I think that's it. Just like a tiny piece.
Yeah.
My dad like snuck it under the table.
That dog's like having sashimi. And
yeah.
Caviar.
Yeah.
Avocado toast.
Yeah. So your parents came here? Or yeah. You just met them somewhere
they're,
else?
No, they always okay. stay in like Encinitas area.
Okay.
Because we have like family who lives there. And then so they kind of just hang out there. And then I usually meet them like near San Alejo. Like where we used to go camping and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, well, that's fun.
Yeah,
that's fun.
Parents yeah. are cool.
That's fun. That's fun.
You probably don't think your parents are cool, but
your parents they are very cool.
My parents are my parents.
It's yeah. true, yeah.
It's like everyone always thinks something their different. Like yeah.
so someone else's parents mm-hmm. are cool.
Yeah.
my dad, my parents came over for dinner, and I made him dinner for Father's Day, and I made him a michelada with your advice.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
With a Harlan's Japanese yeah, yeah, lager. And he loved it. He's like, nice. Where did you get this beer? And I was like, oh. And he's like, this is so good.
So, yeah. yeah. Micheladas are like classic. My favorite when it's hot.
It's the perfect weather for it.
Yeah. Mm. And I've tried buying those like canned ones and they're not
it's
as
good. It's not the same.
Yeah, yeah. It's not as good as making it yourself. I like a lot of lemon.
And there's something about those canned ones that just taste like flat. Like they're not the same.
Yeah, they're,
not,
the
they're
same.
Not the same.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when I had this beer, I was like, oh, this would be a good. And it was. Oh, yeah. I was right.
Yeah.
And I
yeah.
was right.
So this is Microwave Coffee Podcast, and I'm Kajon Zenny.
And I'm Ivan Ortega.
And I am Justin Park.
We're going to talk about a man named Adam Newman.
Huh. Is he the salad dressing guy?
No, that's Paul Newman.
Oh, same thing.
I can't do a... I might do an episode on Paul Newman. Paul Newman is incredible. And I don't know that I can get into his life.
Okay, okay.
He's literally like an angel on earth and we did not deserve him. Like, he's really an amazing person. But
he's like Mr. Rogers or what's
that? Yeah. Yeah, he's just like Mr. Rogers. He's an incredible like tribute to like... human beings. No, helps. I'm going to talk about the opposite guy. Like, this guy Uh-oh. Is like the complete opposite of Paul Newman. So, Adam Newman was born on April 25th, 1979 in Tel Aviv, Israel. His parents got divorced when he was seven. And after the divorce, Adam and his younger sister, Addie, I think it's pronounced, moved to the U.S. Because both of his parents were physicians. And so, his mom had a residency here in the U.S., so they moved. And they were in the U.S. for about 4 years. After that, they moved back to Israel and began living in, again, forgive me if I'm mispronouncing this, kibbutz near which is a commune.
Mm.
So, like,
never heard of it.
Yeah, commune is a, like, community living where everybody pitches in agriculturally. Basically, everybody does, like, farm work and contributes. It's a cult.
It's a cult. Yeah. They can call it whatever they want.
They can call it whatever they want. It's a cult. So he graduated from the Israeli Naval Academy and served in the Israeli military for about five years. From my understanding, everybody in Israel, right, has to
it's
serve
like
in the military.
Mexico, yeah.
Yeah, they're like required to. Which I was laughing when I was doing this because I talked to our friend Kana the other day, who's Japanese, and I don't know why we brought this up, but we were talking about, like, military people, and she said in Japan, because in Japan, like, they never get into wars, so, like, she's like, the military is not a respected, like, it's not a respected career, so, like, if your friend is dating a military guy, you're like, ew, like, yeah. loser, like, it's not.
Well, I think it's partially because of World War II, right? They ended up not looking... Like, their country ended up looking really mm-hmm. bad, so they don't look
and now they
highly upon
do
their...
do not no. do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think they for a long time, they weren't allowed to have, like, a navy or something like that.
Oh, really? Like,
yeah,
altogether?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, because of the war or whatever. I think they were allowed to have, like, a military to protect themselves.
Yeah.
But I think until, like, recently, they couldn't venture out like we do and put bases, like, everywhere.
I didn't know that.
Something like
interesting.
That.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I could be wrong. Kana could correct us.
Yeah, she'll let us know.
I could have sworn it was something like that. Same thing happened to Germany. Like, they couldn't have a military for a long time.
They're just like, we're going to stay quiet for a little bit.
And then, yeah, and then they allow them. But, yeah.
So after being discharged from the Israeli military, Adam moved back to the States and attended, again, I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Zicklin School of Business at Barak College in New York City? B-A-R-U-A-C-H. Barak. I don't
right.
know.
Anyhow. Sounds right.
he started in, he got a business degree from there. And his first business venture was called Crawler. K-R-A-W-L-E-R. It was knee pads for children who wanted to crawl. You know, like they've been doing for thousands mm-hmm. of years without any problem. But he decided they need knee pads.
He saw a need. And
he saw a need.
Fulfilled it.
A need.
It's called supply and demand, people. Yeah. He knew all about him. You'd be shocked to learn that that didn't work out. Crawlers was not a successful business. And while he was working on, or right after he did Crawler, he was working on a new business. And Adam met an architect named Miguel McKelvey, who funny enough, also grew up in a commune, but in Oregon. So they both had like the same mindset. And they came up with a way to revolutionize the workplace. So Adam and Miguel missed their community and the togetherness that they got in a commune.
Mm-hmm.
As Ivan said, a cult for sure.
Yeah.
And they wanted to bring that to the States. So in 2010, with the help of real estate mogul Joel Schreiber, they founded the company WeWork. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of WeWork.
WeWork.
I had not before this moment.
No, I don't think so.
So...
what is it? Is it a WeWork. Union?
WeWork was an office space startup. So small businesses and entrepreneurs would rent out a space
mm-hmm.
from WeWork, and you can work in these buildings. So this was not long after the economic crash. This was in 2010, and the economic crash happened in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot of buildings that were not being purchased used, or being used. And they kind of came along at the perfect time. So WeWork offices were made up of a bunch of small workplaces and included common areas. So picture any other company, except it's not one company. So a dorm room, basically. You rent out an office. There are cafeterias, cafes, common workspaces, living rooms.
Halloween.
But you have your own. Yeah.
Halloween stores.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. The workspaces were all designed to be made of glass, giving the idea of transparency and togetherness. So let's say you both have a startup.
Okay.
You both rent from WeWork. You are working in the same building, but you do not have the same companies. Like, it is your own company.
Mm-hmm. What's the catch?
What's the catch, exactly?
They stole everyone's ideas.
Former WeWork.
Incubator.
Okay. So that's exactly what I thought about. In Silicon Valley, TJ Miller's character always says that he has an incubator, right? That he's mm-hmm. like, he has his house, he rents it out, and people, have their own businesses. I don't know if WeWork was like this. I don't know if they had any right to your business. But you did rent out the space.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I couldn't find exactly how much it cost at the time. I can tell you later what WeWork costs, but I don't know what it costs like at the time that it started. Former WeWork member Justin Zen said, companies in Silicon Valley are formed in garages, and in New York, they're founded in kitchens. So I think that was part of the success, is that here in California, we have the ability to just kind of like go outside. We can work anywhere. Like, our weather is absolutely perfect. Like, we can go anywhere. But in New York, it's super crowded. Especially in New York City, you don't have these like open spaces. You don't have the weather to just like go out anywhere. You have to work in a building. So I don't know that it could have worked in California as well as it worked in New York. But anyways, it became an instant success. It started in 2010. And in 2012, the company was valued at $97 million. shit ton of money. So not bad. Off immediately. Yeah.
I've seen more, but yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. There was a man named Laron David. Laron was he was the founder of a company called Eventique, which did like events. And so when WeWork started becoming successful, he asked him to do his company to do a big event. He said, I want to do a big event for the people who work at WeWork, which is really strange because, again, this is not your company. Like, this is a bunch of like individuals who have their own company. But he said, I want to organize a WeWork summer camp. And it's going to be a 72-hour event. And we're going to do all this stuff. No. Party for 72 hours, basically. And have this big thing. Now, when Adam told Laron his idea, Laron was like rightfully skeptical. Mm-hmm. Like he was like, not only had he never heard of WeWork, but he was like, your event would need an obscene budget.
Yeah.
Like what you're asking for is fucking crazy. This is like a festival, you know? And
fire.
Yeah. Fire festival. So not only did they need an obscene budget, but they needed a really unique location. Funny that you bring up Fire Festival, because Laron said, quote, WeWork summer camp turned out to be Fire Festival done right. It actually worked. It was this insane 72-hour party for adults. Everybody attended. It was like a huge rager. And that was like the point of the whole thing. At WeWork summer camp, you could participate in several activities, including water skiing, yoga, cycling, and that thing where you get in a giant bubble and then like crash into people.
Oh, yeah.
And then like eventually for sure lose control and run down a hill. Like roll down the hill. Those things. So you can do that. And if you didn't feel like doing any kind of physical activity, you could attend one of their many workshops, which included guest speaker, including Ashton Kutcher. Many celebrities went there. It was like a big thing. And interesting. They did like business ventures. And Don Lewis, who at the time was a lawyer for WeWork, said that it was a different culture from the white shoe law firms that I had worked at in the past. And it was the craziest experience you'll ever have. He said at 4 p.m., you would do all these activities, basically.
Yeah.
And then at 4 p.m., they would start serving alcohol. And when I say they served alcohol, I mean they served alcohol. He said it was like alcohol pouring out of every fucking corner. And it was not only a limited amount. It was an unlimited amount. And he doesn't understand how they even got the alcohol to this island. Yeah. Because it was just crazy. They did it on this island in like New York. I don't know if it was like the Poconos or whatever. But they did, yeah. It was just like a lot of alcohol. And so he said, like, you would be drinking till God knows when and then wake up the next morning and like maybe attend these work related, quote unquote, lectures, but you didn't have to. WeWork members were not surprised that there was so much alcohol because if you were renting a space at WeWork, every single WeWork office had a variety of craft beers on tap all the time. So if you are renting one of these offices, you can go to the kitchen, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And just like pour yourself a beer. And it was like unlimited.
Nice.
Again, I don't know how much this costs. Like, I do not understand how much you would pay for this to get those amenities. But it seems like a lot for you to not be paying for it. Because it did. They didn't make it seem like you were paying for each individual drink. It wasn't like a cafeteria. Like, you know, you go to like Apple Corporate or whatever and pay for your stuff. Like, I don't think it was like that.
Well, Apple Corporate has free coffee and stuff.
Yeah.
Starbucks machines.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And free beer.
Yeah.
Sometimes. That's
true. Every other week.
So this was like the place to work. And WeWork quickly got closer to their goal of becoming a Forbes unicorn. If you've never heard about the Forbes unicorn, a unicorn is a company that is valued at over $1 billion. And This is a very good thing if you're an investor of a startup. If the company that you invested in hits a unicorn level, you can get almost 100 times return on your investment. So it's like a big deal for these fucking rich people if they do this. And in 2013, WeWork reached $1.6 billion, making them one of the Forbes unicorns. In 2016, Adam thought, let's take this to the next level with this crazy hippie dream. And he created WeLive, which is a communal living space.
Oh, no. Where's this going to turn?
I don't know who needs to hear this, but... if you work for a big company, your personal life and your office are two separate things. Do not get that twisted. Like, you do not have any kind of personal investment in that company. They don't care about you. So don't do things for them. I'm talking to you, Google. I don't want to sleep in your fucking nap pods. I want to go home and I want to sleep in my own bed. I don't need like all your amenity shit. And while we're on the subject, your company is not your family either. If you work for a company and they call themselves a family, like, get the fuck out of there. Like, that means you're doing extra work that you're not getting paid for. Mm-hmm. If they make you meditate at work, run away. Like, just leave the fuck out, get the fuck out of that place. If your CEO in any way resembles or refers to himself as Jesus, call the authorities and your parents and get the fuck away from that place. Like, you should not be there. You're in a cult. This is definitely a cult. So, anywho, I'm off my soapbox, but just don't do that. Speaking of cult, at one of these WeWork events, the lawyer that we talked about earlier, Don Lewis, he said that he was at one of the WeWork events where Adam, the CEO, was talking, and he was going around and talking to people and like being like, you're amazing and you're amazing, and saying all these like corporate keywords. And Don said that an usher, like a black and African-American usher, walked up to him and leaned in and said, brother, can I ask you a serious question? Is this a cult? So the usher, who knew nothing about this business, knew this was a fucking cult. And he was like, this is a fucking problem. Like, this is weird. So anyways, he noticed that apparently nobody else did. So back to WeLive. According to former residents of WeLive, most, if not all, the people who lived in WeLive worked at WeWork. Obviously, because they're all like tied up in this cult. So the rooms, according to one person, were about at the most 200 square feet. You had a Murphy bed that converted into a couch in your room, and then you had a small desk. Now, it sounds really small, but the whole point was to get you out into the communal spaces. So just like WeWork, WeLive had community kitchens. You didn't have a kitchen in your room. They didn't call it a dorm. I'm calling it a dorm because that's basically what it is.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like to get you out and to get to talk to people. So you had a laundry room, game rooms, kitchens. But you had to leave your room for that. A former resident of WeLive said, it's not uncommon to hear someone say, I'm going to my friend's party, followed by, oh, cool, what floor is it on? Because these people literally would never leave that area. So a lot of people described alienating friends and family because they were just
living there
in the building all the time. And of course, the people that they were working with, they were living with. So there was like, they did not communicate with people outside this like building, basically. There were a couple of red flags, as you can imagine, for this company. One of them was that it happens with a lot of startups, but one of them was that people were getting paid a lot less for the job they were doing in exchange for stocks and equity in the company. Problem is that people don't understand equity versus like, they don't understand stocks versus actual ownership in the company. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people were like, they heard stock in the company and they thought, I own part of the company. And that's not how it works. So according, I am quoting a lawyer. I don't know anything about this. I'm quoting a lawyer from this document. But you are buying, when you buy stocks, you're basically buying the option to, in like, eventually, if you wanted to get, you know, get part of this company. But it doesn't mean that you own part of the company. Like, you are not an equal partner as these other people are. So because they use the whole startup Silicon Valley vocabulary, people were like, cool, I'll take a lot less for what I'm doing because I'm going to own part in this like great startup that's going to do really well. Get that money up front, people. Like, never wait to see what the company's going to be worth. Yeah. Like, ask them for the money up front. In 2016, the company was valued at $16.9 billion. So they had far surpassed their unicorn goal.
Yeah.
Though we were
crashing down.
Yeah. So this is where it all started to go downhill. The WeWork office is starting getting a little full. Just a little bit. Apparently there was people who started to work in the communal spaces because there was not enough room in like the workspaces. Mm-hmm. And they started telling the higher-ups that you don't need a fancy office because this is communal living. So we need to start, we don't want to give the wrong impression. They started downsizing. They said you don't need the corner office. But guess who got to keep their ginormous office on the top floor? Was Adam. Adam did not downsize at all. Like, mm-hmm. he was like telling other people to do it, but he didn't. Joanna Strange was a production manager.
It was a comic book character.
Yeah. Coolest name in the whole world. Joanna Strange was a production manager at WeWork. And she started seeing that all of a sudden, they were nickel and diming all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And she's like, we're a multi-billion dollar company. Why are you trying to cut down $1,000 here and there? That's kind of weird. So, she started noticing that the company was super unorganized. And she knows this because people were not doing her work when it needed to be, or doing the work when it needed to be get done. So she would get frustrated and she would end up doing other people's work.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was like, we need to meet this deadline and this whole like fucking hippie millennial culture is not working. Like, she's like, I need to get this done and people weren't doing it. So she would just do it because she felt pressured that it would come back on her. She would constantly log into her boss's accounts because, like, her boss's stuff, his emails and all this stuff, mm-hmm. because no one was doing shit, including her boss. He was, like, super lazy. So one time he wrote his password on a fucking post-it and gave it to her and was like, here, do what you need to do. And she's like, whatever, fine. So she was constantly logging in and out. One day, she logs into his email, and she finds a message that gets her attention. It is a list of people that are getting fired. And she's on it. Which, sorry, fuck that guy. Like, this is a person who's doing everything for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna give her your password and then send an email that she has access to saying yeah, she's gonna get fired. So the message was to like the other CEOs, like the corporate people. And it said, quote, haha, bitches, I cut more than 7% of my team. He was bragging at how many people he was going to fire
mm-hmm.
to like bring down the budget. So she's like,
that's cool.
Yeah. So she's like, well, fuck him. Fuck them. Fuck everybody. They're firing me. I don't care. Like, I'm just going to like burn this place to the fucking ground. So she says, they're going to fire me anyway, so I'm just going to get all the documents and search through them. So she starts going through the document, through all his downloads,
mm-hmm.
which he didn't erase. Again, I don't know how this guy is like working in tech. And she finds a document that says that the company has to adjust revenue down by 80%. And she's like, that's not good.
That's a
like,
lot. Wow.
not only is that a lot, you're supposedly one of the richest companies in the world. Yeah. Why do you need to downsize that much if you're doing so well? So she says, I'm just going to hand this over to the media and let them fucking run with it. You can, as a journalist, you can verify the source just to make sure that the information is accurate. But of course, you don't reveal your sources.
Mm-hmm.
So she was like, not worried. She's like, fuck it, whatever. I can just, you know, give it to them and see what they do. So she hands it over, and there's even an article published in Bloomberg, but nothing happens. It's on like the third page. It's not a main story. Nobody cares. That is because WeWork was backed by some of the biggest millionaires in the country. And they were about to be backed by one of the most powerful billionaires in the world. Shortly after she revealed that, it is released that SoftBank is going to be investing in WeWork. Specifically, the founder and CEO, Masayoshi Son, who created the largest venture fund in the world. His venture fund was $100 billion and would fund most of the ventures in the U.S. And so he wanted to invest in this company because it was like such a big deal. It was worth so much. One of the biggest in the company. But unlike every other idiot that was swayed by like money and parties and alcohol and all this stuff, Masa-san was very skeptical. So he thought he knew the company was overvalued. Like he was like, something's up. Like this company is not worth that much. He also thought that it could be easily replicated. So he was like, anybody could literally rent out these offices and do the same thing. So what is so special? But before you start thinking of Masa-san as this like reasonable person, he had a meeting with Adam. Adam being the cult leader that he is, super persuasive, has a conversation with him. So he is waiting to have a meeting with him, and Masa-san does not show up. And it's like every 15 minutes they're checking and they're like, he's not coming in. He finally shows up. He's like 2 hours late. And Adam had this whole charismatic speech thing planned out for him. And so he was like this whole pitch. So he gives him this like speed tour throughout the offices. And then finally, Masa-san says, I'm so sorry. I have to leave. Like, he's only been there for like 10 minutes. And he's like, I have to go. And he's like, but if you want to ride with me to my next meeting, you can make your pitch. And so Adam starts making his pitch that he was going to make, like, all compacted. Rich people are wild. I'm telling you. Crazy. And he's in the car with Adam. And he says, Adam's like making his whole like speech, and he stops him and he says, Adam, stop talking. I'm going to ask you one question.
Who is this wins? A cult?
Yeah. Is this a cult? He asks Adam, who wins in a fight? The smart one or the crazy one? And Adam says the crazy one. And he says, that's right. But you're not crazy enough. And he says, you need to think bigger. Mm-hmm. Like, this can go globally. You're not thinking big enough. So Masa-san hands him a check for $4 billion and says, go crazy. In 2017, WeWork is now valued at $20 billion. And they start globally expanding, just like Masa-san asked him to do. So there are buildings in every major city. I know. It's crazy.
God.
Here's a $4 billion check. they're growing too quickly, though. They start opening in every single office on high demand. I mean, in every single city on high demand. And when it comes to the opening showings, the offices are not done. People are showing up. Reporters are showing up. And they're still like, there's no AC. There's no lighting. Like, they're still like building because it was being done. It was expected way too quickly for what they had to do. Now, because word had gone out that SoftBank invested, there was no longer a need for a bargaining. So they, one of the reporters for, I think, Forbes was like looking through this, and there was a company that had turned 800 seats down because they said it was too expensive. And he looks into it and he finds out that that company is Microsoft. And he's like, this is bad. Like, if Microsoft is saying, no, your shit's too expensive.
Yeah.
That's not a good thing. Like, they have plenty of money. So something is up here. They couldn't do bargaining because people were like, well, if you have the money, why the fuck are you trying to get like a good price out of me? Mm-hmm. Like, you have enough money. You don't need it. So, after that, co-founder Miguel, the guy who like the architect who like started the company with him, starts also getting screwed. All of a sudden, Adam wants all the attention and he wants his wife, Rebecca. Again, another sign of a cult. he wants his wife, Rebecca, to join in the spotlight. And he starts moving her higher and higher up as executive. She's all of a sudden like one of the co-founders and she moves higher up in the rank. She was an actress with absolutely no experience. Like, she had zero experience in business. And all of a sudden she's showing up doing her, like, you know, the whole hippie bullshit, like,
yeah,
cult talk, basically. Rebecca started bringing in spiritual advisors to the meetings with the main investors. Yeah. Like, trying to get them to meditate and do all this shit. And they were like, no. So, to add to the psychotic nature of this, like, work environment that's already nuts, a journalist for Forbes magazine went to go visit the headquarters. And Adam was kind of taking him on tour. So they go to get coffee at the cafe inside WeWork. And the journalist orders a cappuccino. And when it's ready, Adam takes it.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, oh, I think that's mine. And Adam looks like really confused and he looks angry. Like, he looks like annoyed. And one of the baristas cuts him off and he goes, oh, no, no, no. We actually call that old cappuccino and not latte. And the Forbes journalist is like, oh, this is a fucking cult. Because he was like, instead of correcting this grown ass man and telling him that this is a cappuccino universally, you are changing the name of something that has existed for hundreds of years and calling it that to, like, make this man-child happy.
Happy, yeah.
So next, Rebecca and Adam try to open up elementary schools, and they called it We Grow.
Oh, my God.
And then they're doing an interview.
I have not heard of any of this.
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy. The heck? I had never heard of any of this. And it was, like, recently, too.
Yeah.
So they do We Grow.
We're not investors.
Yeah, exactly. And they market it as this amazing school where people, you know, where kids can grow up to be all artsy and it can be like communal. Here's the fucking problem. It's still a public school and only rich people can go to this school. Like, only rich kids can go to the school. So it's not really communal and it's not really diverse because you're not, like, according to our numbers, you are not going to get a lot of diversity in a public rich school. Like, that's just not going to happen because they can't afford it. So it wasn't really a better option than sending your kids to, like, the rich New York, you know, private schools. And people started quickly to see, like, the smoke and mirrors. Like, they were like, okay, this company is, like, all bullshit, literally all bullshit. So Justin Zen, who we talked about earlier, he's the guy who first started at WeWork. He was like one of the first members of WeWork. He had a company that was database. So they did all like research. I think he said they did all like database research on companies. So they start looking into WeWork, which they are in. Like, they are members of WeWork. But they're not employees.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they're the ones paying for it. And they start looking into it, and they're like, oh, this isn't good. They quickly start finding red flags. So one was that the company was growing too quickly. It was not producing up to its standards. They're growing too quick. Like, they're saying that they're growing quickly, but they're not meeting those expectations. The other was that they were calling themselves a tech company. So they had their own social media for tech, for within the company. But none of the employees, when they looked into it, were using that social media. So they're like, that's a red flag. You cannot call yourself, like, if you work for Facebook, you're using Facebook. Like, yeah, that's not something that you don't use.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like, okay, you can't be a successful tech company if your employees are not using your services. That's not good. So they decided to publish the results. And immediately they get a message from WeWork asking them to take down the data because they were violating WeWork's happiness clause. And Justin just laughed. Like, he was like, okay. He's like, right, cool. What are you going to do, sue me for not following your happiness clause?
And they did.
No, they just got kicked out. Like, they told him to get out. They were like, you have half an hour to leave. And they made them leave. And they were like, cool, fuck it, whatever. We'll just go work somewhere else.
Yeah.
So they left. And then other people started noticing that the buildings WeWork were investing in were worth way less than they were saying.
Mm-hmm.
So they would say a building is worth $1 billion. It was really only worth $150 million or something like that. And when WeWork started requiring outings, this is when a lot of people started having a problem with this. So these summer festivals, these concerts, these quote-unquote voluntarily outings,
mm-hmm.
started becoming a requirement. Then they made the higher-ups start wearing tracking bracelets to make sure they were going to these events.
Wow.
And they were like, nope.
Yeah, that's so stupid. Can they actually do that? I don't think they can do that, right?
Apparently, I don't think it lasted very long. I think a lot of people were like, fuck this, and just left.
Yeah.
But they did make it a requirement. After that, Masa-san, who was the SoftBank investor, also had other shit going on behind the scenes that they did not know about. So Masa-san started this whole SoftBank investment thing
mm-hmm.
By promising other investors that they would get in at the ground level. But the problem is that at this point, it's not a startup anymore. Like, WeWork is already worth billions of dollars. You're not getting in at the startup level. Mm. It's not like if you just started Facebook and got in right when at the beginning.
Yeah,
like, that doesn't happen. Yeah. So, in order for... he started asking, like, Saudi Arabian investors, like these really rich people. So, in Saudi Arabia specifically, they wanted to get out of the oil business. And so they were really looking into getting into tech companies. Like, they were like, I want to start investing in this instead.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he was promising all these things that were not possible. So in order for these billionaires to invest, they had to show them the numbers. Like, they have to give them like the actual truth, which they couldn't come out with. And it turns out that the company was definitely overvalued.
Mm-hmm.
So Masa-san pulls out of the deal. He does this on, I think, Christmas Eve of 2018. And WeWork quickly tries to do a PR cover-up, and they say, we're going public with an IPO. So they decide that they're going to go public. In order to go public, you have to release an S-1. So an S-1 is a form that you fill out. You're basically applying for an IPO, and it has to show everything, every single detail. So this is the reason why a lot of companies don't immediately go public, because there's like dead bodies they have to like get rid of, basically, and everything's going to come out. So there's a professor for marketing at NYU named Scott Galloway. And he said that when he read when he got the IPO for WeWork, because he had heard of WeWork, he called everybody he knew and was like, don't talk to me. I am going to be reading this for a weekend. Like, do not interrupt me. I need to know what the fuck is happening with this company. Like, he was just so curious as to why this company was so successful.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts reading and he notices he already saw a problem on page one, the intro. So the intro says, quote, we dedicate this to the energy of we. Greater than any one of us, but inside each of us. And Scott Galloway said, for fuck's sake, you are renting out desks. So he knew immediately. He was like, you're renting out offices. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, this is just office renting.
Yeah, that's so stupid.
So this is where things kind of get messy from my point of view, because I'm like a dummy. I don't understand this stuff. But shit started to hit the fan, and it was revealed that Adam was buying buildings. He was buying buildings and then asking WeWork to lease them. Okay. So he was basically like borrowing money from his own company. He supposedly was using $700 million of the company's money while at the same time going public and asking the public for money to fund the company.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, people were like, no. Like, you can't do that shit. Like, if you don't have the money, you are not a successful company. So, like all other insane sociopathic CEOs, he goes on this like PR run and he starts showing up at the offices less and less. Like, people start seeing less of him. He's not working. There was this really crazy event where him and his friends, he took a bunch of friends. He bought this like private jet, which costs like billions of dollars. He flew his friends over to Israel and they were smoking pot the entire time there. Like, the entire way there. And when they got there, they hadn't finished the pot. And so they like stuffed it in a cereal box. And when they landed in the airport in Israel, the pilot found out and he like freaked the fuck out because he was like, I could get thrown in jail for life for this.
Mm-hmm.
And just flew the plane back and was like, fuck you guys, find your way home. And then they had to find like another plane to go back home because it's like, I'm not involved in this in any way. So yeah, it was just like crazy erratic behavior from this like insane guy.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts dragging out interviews. He does these like pre-filmed, you know, Steve Jobs looking fucking keynote speeches about how amazing his company is and how it's going to change the world. And the IPO was promised, but Adam just kept acting more and more erratic. And this is when the whole public knew that they were going into like financial collapse.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he had like, I don't know if he did or the company did, but it was going into bankruptcy and they saw this. So they gave Adam a $1.7 billion payout, which like infuriates me because all those other employees were fucked. Like, this company was going down, but he was getting a lot of money. Co-founder Miguel McKelvey said he had a new strategy. He basically took over like as an emergency and was like, I gotta fix this. And he said WeWork was gonna slow down, so they were gonna like be more careful with this. And since, you know, Adam was out already. And on February 1st of 2020, WeWork announced that they would be bringing on Sandeep Mathrani to succeed Adam as CEO. And he began on February 18th of 2020.
Oh.
Recently, very recently. On June 5th of 2020, McKelvey announced that he would be leaving WeWork by the end of the month. And in September of 2020, the valuation of the company had fallen 89% since its IPO in 2019. So in January of 2021, this past January, the WeWork board had reportedly considered going public again. And in March of 2021, the company had announced that it had reached a deal to go public using SPAC with $9 billion and merge with Boex Acquisition Corp, which I don't know all these companies. So they did. They ended up going, or they were planning on going public. And in May of 2021, the company posted a $2.1 billion loss and claimed to have had more than 490,000 members during their first quarter and had dropped to 70%. This was pre-COVID. This was right before COVID. So that's it. That's all I have, unfortunately, on the WeWork. Now, I looked it up because I could not find during this whole thing how much WeWork, like how much it would cost me to rent an officer.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked up San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
San Diego has two WeWork offices.
Hmm.
If you would like to rent...
Is one in Little Italy?
It is on 600 B Street.
Yeah, which is...
That's one of
them. Yeah.
Not Little Italy, but it's but around close, there.
Yeah.
If you would like to work at WeWork, it will cost you starting at $305 a month. So you're renting out an office space, which is not bad, but no more free beer. Sorry, not in San Diego.
No, I'm not.
You don't get a beer. You don't get a pool.
Screw that.
I'm out. I'd rather work at home.
Oh, wait. There is one. There's one on...
There's two here in San Diego.
Yeah. 8910 University Center Lane.
Mm-hmm.
And that one says the amenities is a swimming pool.
No beer?
The pool is beer.
It's all beer. Yeah. You swimming beer.
No.
Yeah.
But that's it.
So yeah,
interesting.
That one's in La Jolla.
Yeah, La Jolla.
I've heard of this like community working space, but I'd never heard of the brand or the company WeWork.
Yeah.
Huh.
We don't.
I mean, to me, it's not. It's not a big. What made it a big deal was all the amenities.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the amenities, then who fucking cares? Like, you can get an office anywhere.
Yeah, but at that price, I think it's pretty good for
it is pretty
a
good.
small company.
Yeah,
to just and rent a room.
My friend Rachel, who recommended this topic, she was like, when talking about We Live, she's like, isn't it a fucking dorm? Like, that's basically a dorm.
Yeah.
Like, that is what happens when you live in dorm rooms.
Yeah, just a desk and a bed.
Yeah. Pretty much. And like everything you have is outside.
Yeah, community, everything else.
Yep.
Yeah.
Dang.
That weirds me out. Like I said, I don't know. I'm like a dummy when it comes to business. So thank you so much to Wikipedia. And if you want to learn more, and please do, watch the documentary WeWork or the making and breaking of the $47 billion unicorn. It is now available on Hulu. Ooh. Just came out of free.
Hulu.
So yeah, go watch that documentary. Thank you so much for the
dang. What the heck?
Yeah.
How does that much money pass by?
Of those without
me knowing.
Yeah. When I saw the logo, I had seen the logo before, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it.
Yeah.
Did.
It's W-E work.
But okay.
Yeah, WeWork.
So you know how
it's spelled like not like work
no.
or we like the Nintendo Wii.
Well, I've been like looking for jobs, so I like a lot of I do IT, so a lot of the jobs are like techie jobs. Mm-hmm. And the amount of jobs that I would go into, because I would have a call like scheduled for like an interview or whatever to figure out what they did, and the amount of jobs I would go to the website and still not know what they did was, I would say, like 70-80% of all the
yeah
jobs.
It's terrifying. Yeah. It's terrifying that they can get away. I mean,
you go read their about and it's always like we
are a community.
We strive to
like we're a company that strives to help other companies succeed, and I'm like, in what way?
What does that mean?
What does that mean? I'm sure all companies want to succeed. Like, what does that even like, do you make software?
Yeah.
Do you literally go through their portfolios and see what they're like, what are you doing?
I mean, it's like, it's a really great idea that we're getting rid of the 9-to-5 job. It's a really great idea. But at some point, you have to be like, we need organization because this is work. Like, this is not...
Yeah, someone
this
needs
is
to do
not,
it.
Like...
Play
unless
time.
You're an artist, fucking question it if they're saying that this is your life. Like, ask some questions and just be like, no. I need to, like, leave this place because it's just not... And it's bananas that these companies get so much attention and so much funding with bullshit sentences that, where they're like, we're bringing people together.
For me, it's like, if I can't go to your website and on the first page immediately know what you're offering, then I don't want to do anything.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that professor said. Like, he was like, I saw the problem on page one.
Yeah,
when they were like, their mission statement. Like, he was like, what the fuck does that even mean?
Yeah, one time I saw a billion of them that said the same thing, and one of them was like software for like payroll, and I was like, that your mission statement doesn't make sense. You just do payroll software. And then the other one was they made an app kind of like Slack, but it didn't make sense. Like, I had to go in further to see like what they actually did, but it didn't. Their about page was all like BS, like jargon.
It's it's nuts. Like, they, I watch, you know, my friend Mark works for like a really big company, really big tech company, but he was like, the show Silicon Valley is scary accurate. Like, there are people coming up with ideas that are just like bananas.
It's true.
Yeah.
Shark Tank.
Shark Tank.
It's crazy. Like, the whole, in Silicon Valley, they had an episode where somebody pitched like a microwave for your body.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that.
That was true. Like, the writers for the show were like, that was an actual fucking idea that we heard pitched in Silicon Valley.
Like, and they were like, crazy. You can't do that.
Yeah, it's bananas.
Wasn't that not safe?
Yeah.
Perfectly safe.
Anywho, where can they find us? Speaking of tech, we're done.
Yeah, find us on a website that is striving to
bring people together.
Yeah. You can find us at Microwave Coffee Podcast on Instagram, or email us at microwavecoffeepodcast@gmail.com.
Special, who the hell is that?
Special guest
is
that? Voice. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That is the president of...
Maybe we should add like a really fast disclaimer at Microwave Coffee does not blow.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Microwave Coffee is not responsible for anything WeWork does. We don't know anything. Don't take our word for it. Just research it yourself.
Everything's alleged.
Yeah.
Everything, we should call our show Allegedly.
Allegedly. We should call it Allegedly. Yeah. I posted that online one time. Somebody was like, somebody commented that we were like, that we were like wrong or something. And I was like, yeah, we say at the beginning of our podcast, but this is not fact. Like, go look for it yourself. Don't trust us for shit.
Yeah.
Anyhow. Anyway. Yeah. Thank you guys.
Goodbye.
Go watch go watch the Sparks documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Could I get some more coffee?